The music's great.
Yeah. Calls me.
Shit the thump. Yes.
Okay, so he doesn't. I forgot, he doesn't exactly get out.
But it what happens is really cool.
He knocks himself out.
He does. Oh. And I think I love what Robert Zemeckis tells Michael J. Fox is that this is actually really quite a famous Robert Zemeckis saying, because I heard Peter Jackson quote him in the Lord of the Rings commentary that, and this is actually what, thanks to Robert Zemeckis, what a lot of directors get away with mm-hmm. beating the crap out of their actors for is that they say, they remind them that pain is temporary, but film is forever. Which, that's apparently how a lot of directors now get away with beating the crap out of their actors. But anyway. see, Ryan the DeLorean can fly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how we got on top of Biff's. That's how we got past the security downstairs.
Okay.
More great Alan Silvestri. I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'd love to
buy. Well, this is just.
I didn't get that joke when I was 13, but for some reason I still laughed.
Yeah.
When I first saw this in the theater, and I was 13, and I didn't get that joke then, but I still laughed. Because of Christopher Lloyd's delivery.
See, honestly, this dense story doesn't notice a flying car going by.
Again, you have to suspend your disbelief.
I know.
He's so pissed off.
Biff is a moron.
Biff is so mad about what happened at the dance that night that he just wants to go home and curl up with his nightlight and his blankie and
his almanac and just cry like a little girl.
Exactly. Because you know that's what he's going to do.
Yep.
But anyway. Like
he cares about the bake sale.
No, but I love the DeLorean pulls away just as he turns around to look behind him.
Well, of course. That's great. How suspense works. Didn't you know that?
Yeah. But it's just
the
great.
Villain's always one step behind.
Exactly.
Sure, a lot of people this year would have liked to have seen how State and Iowa duke it out. But anyway,
these are actual scores from games from that very day. I think, and from what I've heard anyway, from all the the commentaries and whatnot, these are actual scores from that day, actual college football.
Yeah, well, it'd be detail you would like to get right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a cool little detail somebody's gonna be able to appreciate.
Because
look that stuff up.
Because there's gonna be sports nuts like you, Brian, in the theater that's gonna actually know.
I didn't know these were actual scores. I'm not, sports scores, of course.
Anyway.
I'm not much of a college football person, but anyway,
you're more of an NFL guy.
I'm more of an NFL guy, right?
This is actually all really neat.
This is a cool.
This is probably my favorite climax of the three movies. I think this is my really.
This in part three.
Part three is pretty damn good, but
this one's more exciting.
This one's more suspenseful. I think this one's actually the most interesting, anyway.
Yeah, it is
the most interesting climax of the three.
It really is. Because, in part three, it's all going to work out all right. You're not sure.
Right, exactly. Part...
So...
Yeah. Just another element that makes the movie...
Yeah.
I hate pointing out how dark it is, but it is a little bit darker and it is a little bit more interesting.
And the thing I've noticed in watching this is... The darkness is really only in the second half. I mean, the first and the third parts are pretty upbeat, and well, this part's not. It's not completely upbeat. I mean, it's dramatic, but
it is. That is
it's
you're so involved in the story that you are actually very.
It's
caught
more
up.
In the spirit of the first movie, as far as the
that's
fun of the first. Yeah. It's more in the spirit of the
But I was so caught up. I still get very caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very much so held in suspense. I think that's a real skateboard right there.
Probably.
That's a real skateboard right there.
Uh-huh.
That's wires, I think. Hey, but I'm so caught up in the moment. Yeah. I remember cheering at this part. I was just...
Everybody loved this. Yes. Everybody loved this part.
Yeah, exactly. A great little...
Again, another really the great, exact same...
The exact same, yeah. Another really thing. Great running gag in the trilogy is the manure.
Manure.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, anyway, I remember absolutely cheering at that part when I first saw this.
Real
yeah.
gross-out gag.
Yeah.
One of the better gross-out gags that's been done in film history.
More tastefully done, anyway.
Yeah.
That's neat right there.
Mm-hmm.
That is really neat. Probably my favorite effect in the whole movie is when Biff looks up at, right after Marty takes off. And you see the bottom of the DeLorean, and you see Marty on the hover. I think that's probably my favorite special effect. Probably in the whole trilogy. Another reason I love this one the most is because of, you know, just, anyway, the effects are really beautiful for night. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite special effect in the whole movie. Burn it!
This probably is the best ending of the three because of absolutely. The fact that, I mean, you're not sure what you're... It's the most unpredictable one.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean,
there's no way anybody
you're seeing
this for the first time.
Because the thing is, you're seeing Marty...
What the heck is going on?
You're seeing
what
Marty,
the heck's going to happen?
You're seeing Marty and Doc succeed throughout the entire movie. So you expect them to succeed... At the end.
Well, not through the entire movie.
Well, they're screwing up, but they
you know, they find out, you know.
Yeah. This is all music from the first one, but it's actually really well placed, I think. This is all very much so music from the first one.
Yeah.
But it's really, really well placed, I think. And this part is actually, Michael J. Fox is actually really heartbreaking right here, I think. I'm actually really convinced by his performance here that he's really... Now land!
Yes, land.
Put the DeLorean, put it down. Yeah, but, be careful. You don't want to get struck by lightning. Like that. And that's actually a really neat effect. The fire tire mics going up like that and spinning is really well explained in the commentary. I'm not that well versed to put it into words, as you all know by now from listening to me throughout this entire commentary. I'm not that well versed to be able to explain it right now, but if you're ever interested in knowing exactly why they decided to do that and not put it in a straight line, take a listen to the commentary. Very dramatic.
Yeah.
Yes, great, great music right here by Alan Silvestri. You really do buy this moment.
Yeah, you do.
You're just totally feeling for Marty right now.
And what ends up, I mean, you know, obviously, when this came out, I mean, most fans knew they'd chop 2 and 3 back-to-back. So,
right.
I mean, you know, you're going to get another one.
Absolutely.
So.
But you know what,
still,
Brian?
It works well.
You know what?
Works,
you know,
exceedingly well.
I have to mention something that I kind of have a problem with is that I really do feel like Back to the Future 3 lost a lot of steam when it came out eventually, because I had a big problem with them releasing the movies only six months apart. For some reason, I had a big problem with that. Mm. You know, I would have very much have liked to have seen 2 and 3 released a year apart, like maybe Lord of the Rings. I think 6 months is, personally, I think, that, you know.
Well,
I,
that's the same type of release schedule they're doing for The Matrix.
That's probably what a problem I'm going to have with the two Matrix sequels, because it's going to be really obvious that, you know, we don't need to go into The Matrix right now, but
yeah.
It's going to be really obvious that, you know, I'm just not going to have that much affection for that movie if it's released, you know, in that limited amount of time. I think I had more affection for Lord of the Rings and, you know, the Harry Potter sequel just because mm-hmm. it was released, you know, just, you know, I think a year is...
Well, for a year, you're able to build up some anticipation,
right.
Some real anticipation, mm-hmm. whereas, well, I mean, you know, as far as, if now that we're on the subject of sequels, not necessarily these sequels, you know, although, you know, you know George Lucas, once again, right, 3 years in between the Star Wars movies, when you see what Peter Jackson is doing with the Lord of the Rings movies, what they're doing with Harry Potter and
right.
stuff like
that, a year
really,
between.
Three, more than a year seems like it's a bit excessive. Mm-hmm.
A year really is if you're gonna release a trilogy back to back to back,
yeah,
a year is a really great way to do mm-hmm. it. I think, in my opinion, I think that was a really, I think that that's part of one of the reasons I'm enjoying the Lord of the Rings trilogy so much.
Yeah,
but anyway,
which obviously we can talk about on commentaries for
right.
those movies.
But like I said, but I mean, as much as I love all three Back to the Future movies,
this is one of my favorite
moments in film right here.
This, I mean, just watching the replay of this,
uh-huh.
the suspense, sort of suspense of this
uh-huh.
sequence, I just love watching it.
Well, the callback,
just such a wonderful...
The callback with the music and everything.
Yeah.
And the same, well, this is all obviously from part one.
Yeah. Of course, the ending,
mm-hmm.
though.
No, but this is
very
probably...
End of this movie is...
One of my top five favorite moments in film.
Yeah.
Is right
wonderful
here.
Cliffhanger.
Well, not as much the
not so much a cliffhanger.
Not
but
as much the cliffhanger is just what happened, just the moment.
Yeah.
This is probably one of my top five favorite moments in movies is right here.
I'd have a hard time boiling that down to top five.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I'd have to do like top 10 or
well,
20.
And I'm sure I'll get that email now.
But, yeah, thanks for mentioning that,
yeah.
Ron.
But anyway,
now
no, this,
I'm going to be obsessed about
I absolutely, this.
This
is my favorite moment in the entire trilogy right here.
Yeah.
Is when, because the music is so funny and just, you just, the laugh from the audience was so reverent.
Oh, God. Audiences, I don't remember much of seeing these in theaters. I mm-hmm. do remember audiences loving this moment.
Right, absolutely. This was, yeah. this was worth
great.
It. This moment was worth the price of admission, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Forget what you think of the rest of the movie. I mean, this was worth it.
But then, you know, part two moves so fast.
Yeah.
That, and the groan from the audience when you see this come up, this little...
To be continued.
The groan from the audience was just phenomenal. It was just bigger than life.
Yeah.
And
of course, oh, that's right, they did add the...
The little teaser. Anyway, more great Alan Silvestri, but
yeah,
that's for another commentary. But yeah, actually, no. Is Biff scarier in a Western or as your dad, Brian? Would you say?
Oh, he's definitely scarier as my dad.
Right.
As he would ZZ Top.
Right.
Anyway.
That's a great image right there. The
yeah.
DeLorean. I love that the DeLorean only flies in the second one. For some reason,
yeah.
I really do like that. You know, because... And... Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. But anyway, Brian, I really enjoyed sitting down and talking to you about part two.
Well, you've basically been doing most of the talking. I've been just sitting here enjoying
which
it.
Which is actually kind of a switch, but yeah. Anyway.
If you ever get to listen to our Spider-Man commentary.
Yeah, but anyway.
But anyway, yeah.
No,
I mean, you know, I've still enjoyed watching this. I do enjoy this a lot more than I did for a while.
Can't chase makeup. But we just got done insulting for an hour and a half. But,
yeah.
Dumb.
Well, not insulting, critiquing.
Critiquing. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
I love that little trombone solo there. That's probably one of my favorite parts of the score. Which you had to listen.
I'm biased towards trombonists anyway. As a musician and composer, I'm biased towards trombones anyway. So anything with a trombone, right. I'm going to absolutely love. Michael Lantieri, one of the ILM geniuses, responsible for so many wonderful effects over the years.
This is some of my favorite Alan Silvestri right here.
It's a little
Roger Rabbit-ish, but...
Also, if you listen to Silvestri... Actually, if you listen to Predator, he... Admittedly, Alan Silvestri, if there is one critique you could make about him, it's that he does... Some of his music does sound a lot like he's like... In a way, he is like James Horner.
Right.
But you know what? You know, most composers, you're going to hear some repetition.
You are.
If you can write a great theme, that makes up for a lot.
If you can write a great theme, if you can write a great theme, you can run into the ground.
Well, running it into the ground is a bit of a problem.
Well...
Depending on how well it's done. Exactly. I mean, you know... If you can write great... Let's put it this way. If you can write a great theme...
The theme in Catch Me If You Can did not hear enough of it.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, I kind of want to see that again, but...
Anyway, this is still my favorite one out of the three. This is still my favorite score. Probably my favorite performance out of the two lead actors for the entire trilogy. My opinion about all the back and forth stuff between
Christopher Lloyd. I'd probably have to say I prefer Christopher Lloyd in this one than I do the other two.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I have a preference towards part three, which is for a while has been my favorite, but
Elijah Wood
cannot believe that.
Anyway, no, I'm just saying that like all the back and forth stuff, the multiple characters, the actors playing multiple characters, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So Freddy as Einstein. George McFly and footage from Crispin Glover. There you go. He gets a little bit of a...
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, due to negotiation problems... Due to the complications in negotiations, Crispin Glover was not able to return for part two, which was kind of a letdown. But the story changed dramatically after he was not able to come in. Originally, the second act was going to be in the 1960s. Believe it or not, but due to Crispin Glover not being able to return, they redid the second act completely and was able to come up with what we have now, which we love to death. Anyway, this is Ronnie Haynes.
This is Brian Scuttle.
And we're Yahoos with a microphone, and we will see you
or...
You will be hearing us
on other commentaries.
On another commentary very soon.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.